You're right, you did.
In anticipation of mortgage. We're all too old to lift things easily.
Good morning, everyone. A very, very warm welcome. And a huge thank you to the flower team. Doesn't our church look stunning? I feel it's just full of sunshine. Absolutely beautiful. So thank you to our flower team for all their work on Friday. We've started our display of harvest gifts, and there will be an opportunity during the service for you to bring up any other gifts that you've got. They will be going to Silk Life in Macclesfield and also to the Poynton Community Larder, which is at the Baptist Church. If possible, perhaps one or two of you wouldn't mind helping to load up the shopping trolleys at the end of the service. Thank you. Next Sunday is a circuit service at Macclesfield, and if you would like a lift with another church member, would you be kind enough to sign up on the notice, which I believe is in the big corridor. So if you would like a lift, you're very welcome to have one. I've also just remembered it's the church council, is that right, Stuart, this week? Is that Tuesday at 7:30 in room 3? And I believe you're welcome whether you're a member of the council or not. If you'd like to come and join in as an observer, that would be good. And I'll pass over to Mr. Maltby.
I can't get used to being called Mr. Maltby. I've been retired 20-odd years. But thank you. Thank you for that welcome. And can I add my thanks as well to the flower team for the display? It's absolutely fantastic. Just for those of you that were at the Ladies' Fellowship talk, you may remember Mr. Hughes' shop in Dalgetley, where I had to go and buy clothes to go to my brother's wedding. He had decided that at the age of 75 he would be getting married. Well, this is the wedding jacket. I gave the shoes back. Let's just have a moment of silence as we prepare for worship. And we go to our call to worship. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. He makes plants grow for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. Eating is one of the few things common to all human experience. What type of food we eat and how readily available it is may vary widely, and we have particular choices. We can choose what we eat. We are very fortunate, but we all eat. Our harvest service is an opportunity to offer to God the contribution we make in bringing food to the table, to give thanks and to pray for others in the chain upon whom we are dependent, a chance to praise God who gives life to all living things, a chance to recognise how very fortunate we are, and a chance to recognise that many people are not so fortunate. Let us pray. Loving Creator God, the whole earth proclaims your glory. Everywhere we look, we see your handiwork. Help us to enjoy the earth gently and to work so that all may be fed. We pray for those who work the land, both nearby and in different countries. May they receive a just reward for their labor, and may their work be both as food producers and stewards of the land be honored. To you, our Father in heaven, creator of the smallest atom and maker of the furthest galaxy, we offer our sacrifice of praise. To our Saviour, our Lord Jesus Christ, friend of the poorest beggar and redeemer of the richest tycoon, we offer our sacrifice of praise. To the Holy Spirit, enabler of the weakest Christian and guide of the strongest character, we offer our sacrifice of praise. To God, three in one, present at creation, present among us in Christ, and present in our lives right now, we offer our sacrifice of praise. Amen. Our first hymn is Come, You Thankful People, Come, Raise the Song of Harvest Home. Have a prayer of praise and thanksgiving, and that will be followed by a prayer of confession. But the prayer of praise and thanksgiving I've adapted from a prayer written by the Reverend Rachel Parkinson, who's in North Allison. So let us pray. Lord, we praise you for the harvest of the fields, for fields of wheat and barley, for oilseed rape and maize. We give thanks. We praise you for the harvest of local hedgerows, for the straggling bramble, for black showers of elderberry, for mushrooms nestling in the dewy grass. We give thanks. We praise you for the harvest of gardens and allotments, for earthy roots and crackling cabbage, for hanging beans and striped courgette. We give thanks. Lord, we praise you for the harvest of talents in our church, for buildings well maintained, for readers, Bible groups, for prayer groups, the flower arrangements, for those operating the technology and the music, and for responsible stewardship and charity supported. Lord, we give you thanks. We praise you for the harvest of fellowship in our church, for friends made and support given, for people with whom to laugh and with whom to weep. We give thanks. Lord, we praise you for the harvest of prayer, for commitment deepened, for discipleship taken up, for the cross carried and the burdens borne. We give thanks. Lord, we dedicate this festival of harvest thanksgiving to you. Bless us, strengthen us, unite us in your love. Amen. And a prayer of confession. Lord, as we celebrate your goodness, so we confront our own sin, our greed and our insensitive, our failure to appreciate what we have and the opportunities you have given, our readiness to complain, our unwillingness to praise. Father, forgive us and renew us. Lord, sometimes we have a self-centered blindness to other people's needs. Sometimes we are deaf to the cries of the hungry. Sometimes we miss the opportunity to show love to those who are deprived of affection. Father, forgive us and renew us. Sometimes, Lord, we are completely unaware of the difficulties faced by those who work the land, a landscape threatened, an economy at risk, a countryside disheartened, its communities uncertain and confused, its isolation and exclusion ignored. Lord, forgive us and renew us. May our sins be forgiven, our blindness, deafness, and coldness of heart be healed. May your renewing spirit rest on us and fill your nation with love and with hope. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our second hymn is For the Beauty of the Earth, For the Beauty of the Skies.
Thank you.
David is going to read to us from Deuteronomy. Thank you, David.
The reading is entitled First Fruits and Tithes. When you have entered the land the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, and have taken possession of it and settled in it, take some of the first fruits of all that you produce from the soil of the land from the Lord your God. He is giving you this, and put them in a basket. Then go to the place the Lord your God will choose as a dwelling for his name, and say to the priest in office at the time, I declare today to the Lord your God that I have come to the land the Lord swore to our ancestors to give us. The priest shall take the basket from your hands and set it down in front of the altar of the Lord your God. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people and lived there and became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us and made us suffer, subjecting us to harsh labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our ancestors, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery, toil, and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with signs and wonders. He brought us to the place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. And now I bring the first fruits of the soil that you, Lord, have given me. Place the basket before the Lord your God and bow down before him. Then you and the Levites and the foreigners residing among you shall rejoice in all the good things the Lord your God has given to you and your household. Amen.
Thank you, David. We sing again, and this time it's for the fruits of all creation. Thanks be to God.
Thank you.
Could we have our reading from Luke, please? Thank you, Alison.
A reading from Luke chapter 12, verses 13 to 21. The parable of the rich fool. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" Then he said to them, "Watch out, be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions." And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry.'" But God said to him, "You fool. This very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God." Amen.
Thank you very much, Alison. Thank you. Picture the scene. It's 7:30 on a dark, cold October morning, the beginning of half term. My mum, myself, and my three younger brothers are crammed into two seats on the local bus. We sit, unspeaking, watching the rivulets of condensation running down the inside of the bus windows. We cannot see out into the dark, so we sit and watch the condensation. We have our doorstep spam and tomato sauce sandwiches and our flasks. But where are we going? We're actually heading for a farm located between Sutton-on-Sea and Alford in Lincolnshire. We're going to pick potatoes. Now you might wonder, why was Mum accompanying the four boys? Why was she there? Well, it was nothing to do with health and safety. It was nothing to do with safeguarding. Very simply, we were all there to earn extra money that would supplement my father's income from his daytime job of working for the Air Ministry and his evening job of serving drinks at the local pub. The work was quite hard. One tractor would come down a row of plants, turning the soil so the potatoes would be up on the top. The second tractor, with a trailer, would then be hastily loaded with the baskets that we had put our potatoes in. Then it would all be repeated. It went on and on and on, apart from a lunchtime break. It was hard, but there was a satisfaction and a fellowship and a knowledge that some of the produce we could take home and some of the produce would go to the local church for Harvest Festival. I shouldn't mention, and I may get into trouble for mentioning it, but there was a clandestine activity of the small potatoes, the small unwanted potatoes, being thrown at the many bending targets. I have to plead guilty. In those days, of course, a lot of the items that were taken to church to thank God for the harvest were freshly grown. Potatoes, marrows, pumpkins, carrots, and so on. And then they would be distributed between the elderly and the needy. But that situation has changed. Many churches found that fresh food started to go off, started to perish before they had chance to sort it, before they had chance to take it out to people. And if we think about residential homes and daycare centres and food banks, we give them more flexibility if we offer food in tins and packets, as we have done there. And I'm sure they're going to find a great use for it. Bearing all that in mind, we come to thank God for the harvest. The earth is the Lord's and all that is in it. He makes plants grow for people to cultivate, bringing forth food from the earth. The reading we had from Deuteronomy by David is a recitation of God's dealing with his people. It is in a sense a sort of aid memoir to help them and us to remember what God had done for them. It's a reminder that we all have so much to thank God for. We are so very, very fortunate. But I wonder, do we ever take out time to reflect on what God has done for us as individuals? Do we ever take time out to talk to other people about our spiritual journey? Can we actually put into words what our faith means to us? Is it something that we should talk through, possibly with a close friend to start with, and then maybe possibly with other people? Is it a way of sowing the seeds of our faith? Is it a way of encouraging other people to come to Christ? Is it a way of increasing God's harvest? When I was looking through various resources for the reading from Luke, I found, as you would expect, both Mandy and I have a favourite Christian author, Nick Fawcett. I found one of his interpretations. And if you can bear with me, I'd like to read it to you. I say that, I don't know what would happen if you say you can't bear with me, but it's called Meditation of a Successful Modern Day Businessman. I thought I had everything under control, the future mapped out exactly as I wanted it to be. At long last, I could sit back and enjoy life, spoil myself a little, indulge in the hard-won fruits of my labours. And why not? I'd earned it, hadn't I? Those long years of striving, the toil and the effort to achieve success. Surely now I had a right to eat, drink, and be merry. Only that's when Jesus blew it apart. One simple story, and my blissful vision was exposed for what it was, an empty illusion. It's not that pleasures are wrong in themselves. He wasn't saying that. On the contrary, he enjoyed them as much as any, so much in his ministry, a celebration of life. No, it was the way I viewed things which was wrong, as though they were my possessions, for my use, for my benefit. I'd put all my energy into self, securing my own happiness and fulfillment. Yet ultimately, everything I pinned my faith on hung by a thread, which so easily could have been severed at any time. Where then would all my toil have got me? A lifetime sacrificed on the altar of ambition, frittered away in the pursuit of gain. Is that you too? Then listen again to those words of Jesus and let them speak to you. Secure riches by all means, but don't keep them to yourself. Use them to bring help to those in need, hope to the poor, food for the hungry. Share with those who have little, remembering that you have received so much. Rejoice in what God has given by giving back to him in return. Do that, and you will discover the secret of true riches. I'd lost sight of that, blinded my treasures on earth to treasures in heaven. But it's not too late, for with his help, I can change, discovering where life's priorities really lie. It's time to think of others. It's time to think of God. I actually enjoy all of the articles that Nick Fawcett puts together, and that seemed so relevant. But how does it actually relate to us today? What do we think that Jesus was actually saying? The story that Jesus tells rises out of a sad situation, a family row after the death of parents. It's amazing how many people have fallen out over an ornament or a piece of furniture. I do remember when my mum died, one of my relatives turning up just to take back an ornament they'd bought for her a few years before. They turned up, took the ornament, and went on holiday. The rowing parties that came to Jesus came as they would go to a rabbi, expecting Jesus to sort out the situation for them. But typically, Jesus refuses to tell them what they should do. Instead, he points to a higher issue, that of a correct attitude towards wealth, towards the accumulation of wealth, the building up of wealth. Life is more than material goods. Far more important is our relationship with God, our very personal relationship with God. As you would expect, when we pray, we often expect or often want an answer. But in this parable, in this story of Jesus telling the parable, he doesn't give an answer. He doesn't tell them what to do. He gives them quite an unexpected viewpoint, telling the questioner in a way that he needs to change and to grow in his attitude, to have a different perspective, to look at things differently. Jesus is warning that we need to be on guard against greed. This is, of course, doesn't fit well, does it, with advertising? Those advertisers that spend millions of pounds trying to entice us to think that if we buy more and more of their products, we will be happier, we'll be more fulfilled, and be more comfortable. And I don't know if you've noticed, but Donald Trump is again part of that circus. He's now promoting Trump high-ended trainers, Trump silver coins, and Trump watches that retail at a mere $100,000 a time. But they are beautiful. They're gold and they're encrusted with lots of little diamonds. But should we be going down that route? Well, couldn't afford it anyway. Let me say, there's nothing wrong with planning for retirement. It's sensible. There's nothing wrong with retaining funds for everyday living. There's nothing wrong with keeping a source of money for maintaining your property. Because if you didn't do those sorts of things, then you would be dependent on taking money from other people. And Luke describes in Acts Christian communities in which most members live in their own homes and surrounded by their own goods. So there's no suggestion that if you live in your own home, if you have your own property, your own goods, and you retain a certain amount of money, there's no suggestion that you are second-class or rebellious members of God's people. It's common sense. So Jesus is not saying, give up everything you've got. He's warning against an accumulation of wealth, of greed. So the message is that we need all of us to avoid being greedy. Jesus is challenging us to think beyond earthbound goals and to use what we have for God's kingdom. Faith, service, and obedience are the way to become rich towards God. The challenge is to share what we can manage, to share with others the surplus that we might have, to share with those that may be struggling to survive. When John Wesley was at Oxford, he lived by a rule that he set himself: save what you can and give away what you can. At first, Wesley had an income of £30 a year. He lived off 28 and gave £2 away. When his income went up to 60, he lived on 28 and gave £32 away. As his income rose, he continued to live on £28 and to give the rest away. But I'm not suggesting that if we were to match his percentages, that we would live okay, because we wouldn't. His percentages that he gave away were, very, very high, not anything that we could match. But simply I'm suggesting that can we help others when we can, in whatever way we can manage? Can we use the little bits of surplus to give to various charities, not directly to people, because I'm sure that might be offensive and it could be embarrassing. Excuse me one moment, sorry. Christian giving is about offering our whole selves to God. God has given us everything. He doesn't just want the packaged in the tin foods, but looks much more for the fruits of lives dedicated to his service. What can we give to God? How can we best serve? Mandy brought up a psalm, maybe last week, if I can remember correctly, that said, we're never too old to use our skills. Never too old, there's always something within us that's useful. Harvest is probably the best opportunity of the year, isn't it, to raise awareness of global and developing country issues. And quite rightly, over the last few weeks, we've had some of those issues raised. They've been brought to us during our services, during our worship. However, I also think that the celebrating of the harvesting of the food that God has provided is a reminder of how important Christian giving is. It's a chance also to remind us to set a good example by our Christian lifestyle in the society that we live. And as part of that, repeat that it's to encourage Christian giving. I'd like to suggest that as part of our Christian service, we keep an eye on those people that live in our neighbourhoods. I don't mean spy on them. I don't mean send reports on them. But if we see people struggling, can we then provide a link to the appropriate services to help them cope? And if required, can we donate whatever we can to the various charities and to the food banks? It's one of those circumstances where a little can go a long, long way. We shouldn't give because we feel guilty. We should give because we're conscious of all that the Lord has done for us. We're conscious of how very, very fortunate we are. Can I finish by reminding you of the words that Alan Rashleigh used a couple of weeks ago? The words of John Wesley, the words that are printed on the walls out there. Do all the good you can, by all the means you can, in all the ways you can, in all the places you can, at all the times you can, to all the people you can, as long as ever you can. Amen. Our next hymn is Beauty for Brokenness, Hope for Despair. Lord, in your suffering world, this is our prayer. Let's sing again. We come to our prayers of intercession, and during those prayers there will be moments of silence when we can bring our own thoughts to God, and there is a response. When I say, Lord, in your mercy, could you please respond with, hear our prayer. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Let us pray. Lord, we pray for those whose lives are caught up with your creation and who work with you in tending and nurturing it. Those who even now suffer as a result of the crisis in our countryside. Those afraid for their future. Those struggling to survive. All whose livelihood and existence is under threat. May they know your presence and be conscious of the help that you bring. Through both, may they find hope for their future. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the hungry and for the homeless, the broken and bereaved, for all for whom this day brings sadness and little joy. We pray for the lonely and the helpless, for those whose hope has been shattered and their faith destroyed. Lord, we continue to pray for peace in your world. We pray for all caught up in fighting. We pray for the people of Ukraine, Russia, Gaza, Israel, Lebanon, and in the other troubled spots around the world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the struggling and the oppressed, for those without the power to negotiate or bargain, for all whose work goes unrewarded, whose produce is undervalued, for all who feel unwanted, believing their skills are no longer needed. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who struggle to change the system, those that are striving for justice and fair trade, trying to overcome political blindness and public insensitivity. We pray for all who influence our thinking, our buying, and our consuming. We pray for all who formulate policy and manage the market. We pray for fairness and compassion in all walks of life. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for responsible stewardship in our using of your world, for sustainable consumption as well as production, care for creation and compassion for each other. And merciful Father, we ask that you accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, our Lord Jesus. Amen. Let's say together the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples, the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. table over there looks to be absolutely heaving with produce, doesn't it? And isn't it lovely, set against the backdrop of the sunflowers and the fruits that are scattered around? This is the point where we ask if anybody has any other gifts to bring out, that they do it at this stage, please. Anything at all, or have we already brought it to the front? There is some movement at the back. Excellent. Well done, Walter. Oh, thank you, Barbara. Thank you very much. Going into the trolley is perhaps even better than putting it back on the table. We'll save a little bit of it off. Thank you. Thank you very much. Thanks. So up on the screen you can see exactly where the gifts are going this year. The Poynton Community Larder and Silk Life Food Bank in Macclesfield. And I'm sure they're going to find a great use for that. I'm sure around Macclesfield and even in Poynton there are people that are struggling to provide for themselves. So let's hope that goes well with them. Let's pray over those gifts. Blessed are you, Lord God of all creation. Through your goodness, we have these gifts to offer. Lord, you have given us everything we have. Our money, our possession, and our lives are yours. We can only give to you what you have first given to us. Accept our offerings and use them to bring those who receive them closer to you in love. We ask all of this in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Before we sing our final hymn, can I thank everybody that's been involved this morning, for John and for Mandy, for David, for Alison, for the stewards that were looking after me, and thank you especially for bringing all these gifts. And as you would expect, our final hymn can only be, "We plough the fields and scatter the good seed on the land." Thank you. Thank you. Let us pray. In our waking and sleeping, Father, protect us. In our working and resting, Jesus, encourage us. In our coming and going, Spirit, direct us. In our daily living and lifelong pilgrimage, may God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit guard us, guide us, and watch over us, now and always. Amen.